And welcome back to the SEC on CBS podcast here on CBS Sports. Tom Fornelli, Robbie Calland, joining me, Chip Patterson, back here so that we can wrap up this week of podcasts by taking a look at the top 25 slate against the spread. You know how it goes. It's Friday's show. We've got a whole bunch of picks for you, and they are nothing but winners. Make sure that you are subscribed to the SEC on CBS podcast on iTunes, TuneIn, or Stitcher so that you can get the Reviewing the Wreckage recap podcast first, along with everything else. And enjoy another picks gang. Back here on the SEC on CBS podcast, wrapping up your week with some top 25 against the spread picks. Doing so with me is Robbie Calland, Tom Fornelli. Gentlemen, we've got a top 25 slate with very few top 25 against top 25 games, which means we got a whole lot of games, and we are going to try to get to as many of them as possible. We're going to begin, gentlemen, in the Big 12. I like these noon slates. I like the way this Saturday unfolds. West Virginia going into Austin to face Texas. Texas 2.5-point home favorite against the Mountaineers. All right, so Tom, you're going to go first because okay. I want to hear about the Horns because you're picking Texas, and this is a big spot for Charlie. This is a spot where, you know, if Texas gets this win, strings together a couple more. I don't know. What do you think about this particular matchup?
I'll tell you what I think about this matchup, Chip.
What?
Texas is my lock of the week.
What?
Yes. The Longhorns are going to put to bed West Virginia's dwindling playoff hopes on Saturday afternoon in Austin. It's the reasoning for this is really just that Texas has been playing a lot better recently. It is covering in 4 of its last 5 games in Austin. It is 4-0 against the spread at home this year. Meanwhile, West Virginia is looking a little bit leakier on defense as of late. We were buying in a few weeks ago talking about how great this Mountaineers defense was, especially after that Texas Tech game. But last few weeks, some leaks have sprung, and they've been giving up some big plays. And also, West Virginia just overall 2-5 against the spread in its last 7 games this year. I think that it's still somewhat overvalued by Vegas, so I think they got it right this week. Texas should be the favorite in this game, and I think Texas is going to win, and they're going to cover those points.
Oh, wow. I've got West Virginia winning this game with the mindset that it's the second half of my play from last week, picking Kansas. The idea being that West Virginia wasn't really messing around with Kansas. They're out here trying to win the Big 12 title. And maybe if there were any hours to be split up among the week, that Texas was going to get a little bit extra attention. Kansas covered that spread. So now I've got to follow through with the other part of it, which is taking West Virginia. Robbie?
I was just going to take the points in this game no matter what.
God, you.
Bringing that energy.
Boom! Points!
Because last time it was in the Big 12. Last time it was Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm. And we took Candy.
And I looked like an idiot for my Oklahoma State takes.
Sorry-ass Cowboys.
Yeah. Right. Sorry-ass Cowboys.
They looked good. Mason Rudolph is cooking. Mason's got it rolling. I cannot disagree with what my eyes see.
Yeah, no, I just, in a matter of this, when I really just don't have a good feel, Robbie takes the candy.
Always.
So we're on the eaters.
All right, so as we turn our attention to Baylor going to play Oklahoma, Baylor, of course, coming off that TCU loss, is in an interesting position as the commentary around Baylor football seems to dominate so much more of the conversation than the actual human beings wearing the green or gold or black uniforms on the field. This Bears team gets away from Waco. I think that's a good thing here. Am I crazy about that? Robbie, throw back to you here. 15.5, Oklahoma. How do you see this game playing out?
Look, Oklahoma's just not beating teams by a lot of points. That's why I'm taking the points. 10 points against Iowa State last week. I know Matt Campbell's got them as the spunky clones a little bit. out there playing hard. They got Kansas this week in a beautiful matchup in the bottom 25, correct, Tom?
Oh, hell yeah.
That's right. So outside of Kansas and Louisiana Monroe, two not good football teams, Oklahoma has beaten exactly one team by more than 10 points, and that was Kansas State in a bit of a funky one. Baylor, I think, just hangs around just enough. I don't love this pick, but I just don't trust Oklahoma to really beat anyone down when, honestly, the game against West Virginia could mean more next week. I don't know. Baylor, I don't trust them right now. There's so much noise. I do agree with you, Chip, that getting out of Waco could be a good thing for them. But I don't love this game, but 15.5 is a lot of points for Oklahoma to cover when they have not been especially good defensively this year. That's the biggest issue. There are a lot of points to be had late in this game for Baylor to sneak this close.
Oh, they can score quick.
They still can score quick. We know that. They still have that ability to get a couple touchdowns, and Oklahoma's defense will give you touchdowns. We saw it in the Texas game.
Tom?
I think it is good for Baylor to get out of Waco. I just think it would be a lot better if they were getting out of Waco to play Iowa State or somebody, not Oklahoma.
Hey, Iowa State gave Baylor problems.
I can't take Baylor at this point. To me, you know, I don't know how closely you guys watched the game last week against TCU, but that's not a team that gives a crap anymore. And you just look at it around the situation. They've lost their last two games, so they're now eliminated from any playoff talk. I mean, they're eliminated from the conference championship. They're eliminated from playoff talk. They dropped completely out of the playoff rankings. I mean, that was a team that they just got rid of as soon as they suffered that second loss. They couldn't wait to get rid of Baylor. Mm-hmm. But there's a divide among the coaching staff where the staff's sending out that statement just before its kickoff against TCU, which Jim Grobe said he had no idea about. There's Shaq Linwood being suspended for what they deemed as attitude issues when the report is he got into a shoving match with one of the assistants on the sideline during the game. Mm-hmm. There is nothing going on around this Baylor football team right now that makes me think that anything is going right.
I am absolutely willing to throw in the towel on Baylor after this game. But I'm going to give them one last shot. But I'm with you, dude. You mean as though you will not be picking Baylor the rest of the season as long as we have to pick him. You are in that spot.
No, if they rally this week and play well, I'll consider it. It's just based on what I've seen from them and everything that's going on. Like last week, that team, it got down early to TCU and it looked relieved. It was like, oh, okay, cool. Let's just get this over with and go home.
Mm.
I mean, there was so much focus on, are they wearing these black jerseys in protest? And there was just so much crap going on around that game that had absolutely nothing to do with football that it just looked like their shoulders just kind of dropped, like, in relief. Not sadness. It was just a breath. And they just let themselves get destroyed by TCU. And maybe that changes after a week off. You never know. But just based on what I saw from that team last week, I'm sorry. I have no faith in it to go on the road and do anything against Oklahoma.
Penn State at number 12 in the rankings, number one in your hearts, going on the road to play Indiana. Indiana at home. Kevin Wilson, we picked it at 7.5, so you're getting a little bit of a hook here. Tom, I'll throw it back to you because I wanted this Indiana pick. Dog, I wanted it. Didn't we talk about it on Monday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I talked myself out of it. So give me reasons why you like the Hoosiers here, and do you think that they can pull off the upset?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to. I think they're entirely capable of doing it. I don't put the odds as very good. I just you give me this Indiana team as a dog at home, and I'm just naturally more inclined to go with it because it is a team that puts up a lot of points, and this is a Penn State team that, you know, has certainly improved over the last stretch of the season. You know, it's won its last, what, five games now? I think they're on a five-game winning streak. But yes. They're also maybe, you know, they're kind of climbing up in the rankings, and they're kind of maybe, you know, maybe they're feeling themselves a little bit going on the road. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't take Indiana seriously when you've beaten Minnesota, you've beaten Ohio State, you've beaten Iowa. But, as you know, like the last time they went on the road against Purdue, they put up 62 points, because they blew up for like 45 in the second half. But for that first half of that game, they were kind of struggling with Purdue. So I also have questions of how good this Penn State team is outside of Happy Valley. So when I look at all that, if you're going to give me Indiana and 7.5 points or whatever, I'm going to take them. It's not like a complete, utter, stone cold, lock, super confident pick, but it's just when I look at all those situations, I'm like, I feel better with Indiana in this spot.
All right. What do you think, Robbie?
Traditionally at Penn State, James Franklin beats up on unranked teams. They thumped Iowa last week when I thought I would keep that thing close. And look, I mean, this is a Penn State team that's playing really good football. Indiana struggled last week with Rutgers. Doesn't give me a whole lot of confidence. I know Indiana on the road is a different team or whatever, but you shouldn't play one possession games with Rutgers. I don't care who you are. You do that and I'm out on you. So,
expert picker scorned. Check them out.
I'm out. You play in the one possession game with Rutgers. I'm out. Still mad at Iowa. I'm still mad at Iowa.
So Mark D'Antonio is in trouble this week.
Hey.
All right.
Can we pick that game?
We can in a second. But let's
speaking of bottom 25 clashes.
let's get to pressing matters. Let's get to USC. Stepping up into Seattle. Let's get to Washington, a team with 13 starters from the state of California. A Huskies program built on some recruits, that Steve Sarkisian brought in when he knew where to go look in California. Dog, we got some people that know each other. I'm excited about this game. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We picked it at 7.5. Robbie. You got the Huskies. Give me that Jake Browning cover news. Tell me about it.
Look, it's just I think Washington will play better defense than Southern Cal for 60 minutes of this football game and eventually pull away. I don't love this pick. I don't like this line. I think this is a very good line. I think this is in that 7 to 10 point range, which is why I don't like it, because 7 points can happen very easily. And we miss out. I don't like that hook. I don't love this pick, but I'm a believer in these Washington Huskies. They are very well balanced on both sides of the ball. They defend the pass well. They defend the run well. They throw the ball well. They run the ball well. If you can do those things, I'm going to like you. And I know Southern Cal has been much better with Sam Darnold in at quarterback. I want to see them do it against a top-flight opponent is more my thing. I need to see them lock it in. Darnold's probably saved Clay Helton his job, which is nice of him to do. And
nice of him.
Nice of him to do.
Very kind of you.
I just don't think anybody in the Pac-12 South has anything for Washington, especially Washington at home. We saw what they struggled in Utah, which is a tough place to play. But at home, I think Washington wins this game and just pulls away enough late thanks to some good defense that might, you look at Darnold, this first time he's gone into a real hostile environment. So I think he might have a little more struggle than we've seen.
Big, big test for a USC offensive front that is a little bit nicked up. My boy Damian Mama, he's just doing light work at practice. He's just out there in shorts, stretching it out, going through the motions. We'll see if who suits up on Saturday. Tom, I am in love with your upset pick here. How confident
First of all,
are you feeling?
I'm pretty confident.
Nice.
I feel pretty good about this. First of all, Rob, you said that you want to see USC beat somebody. I hope you hear that, Buff Nation. Robbie Callen says you're nobody.
Oh,
that's right. That's right.
I want to see them beat somebody on the road for sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But yes, no. I mean, like beating. Look, no, I said nobody
track
in the Pac-12.
Out, buddy. Track
no,
back.
I said no, nobody yeah. in the Pac-12 South has anything for Washington. Buff Nation included.
Look at that.
Trojan Nation included.
That's right, Buff Nation. You're nobody, and you got nothing. Robbie Callen at R Callen on Twitter. My reasoning for this is simple. USC has definitely played better since Sam Darnold took over the quarterback job. And Sam Darnold has been given a lot of credit for that, and rightfully so, because he's been a much better quarterback than what they had there at Max Brown to start the season. But for me, the thing that's really sticking out about this USC team over the last month is its run game, which has improved by quite a bit. In its first four games of the year, the Trojans were averaging 4.3 yards per carry, which isn't horrible, but not really what you're looking for. In the last five games, that number's increased more than two full yards to 6.4 yards per carry. The other side of that, let's take a look at Washington's defense, which, by the way, just lost its one of its best players in Joe Mathis, who leads the team in sacks, was tied for the team leads in tackles for loss, but more than a pass rusher, he's also a disruptive force in the run game. He gets in the backfield, and he slows down, shuts off lanes. He's very effective at that. He's not going to be there. So now we look at this Washington defense, which to start the season was phenomenal against the run. It was giving up 3.04 yards per carry through its first five games. That's gone up nearly two full yards to 4.9 yards in the last four games. As the season's worn on, this defense is wearing down a little bit up front. So I put all these things together, and I see a USC team that's getting good at the right time and a Washington team that's kind of plateaued. It's really good, but I haven't seen Washington improve over the last 3 weeks. I've just seen Washington continue to be Washington. So just looking at that kind of momentum, looking at the way things are working for USC, and looking at the way that it's just, you know, as we've seen, any team that the committee puts at number four is doomed.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, if there's a time to lose, it's definitely more now than in the Apple Cup, because you can lose this, but then still need to beat Washington State to be able to win the division.
Yeah, so I think that this is a perfect storm of events. I think USC's going up to Seattle. I think it's going to beat the Huskies.
Can I say one thing on your rushing thing? You know what they've been doing? Been trying to get them to do for 2 years? They've been getting Ronald Jones the damn football.
What?
They've been giving him first
you
Alabama
the guy
seven
who can run more than 5 yards at a time without falling down? It's the amazing guy that can run away from people they're giving the ball to?
Through the first five games, he had one game in which he had more than 8 carries. That was the Stanford game. He had 11. Since then, he's had at least 10 carries. 10 for 56 against Colorado. 16 for 77 against Arizona. 18 for 223 against that Charmin soft Cal defense. And 20 for 171 against another Charmin soft defense in Oregon. But give him the football. Boy can run it. He's skilled. He's talented. He's one of the best backs in the country. And they've been keeping them under wraps, and it's not fair. Give Ronald Jones the damn football.
I have a feeling promises were made to certain people.
I think that Ronald Jones is going to be all right.
Run it.
I mean, he's the freaking freshman rushing record holder, you know?
He's so good, and they just will not give him
at
the football.
USC.
He just give him the football.
No, but my point is, he's not just, you know, the freshman rushing record holder. He's the freshman running record holder at USC. Think of some of the freshmen running backs who have come through that school.
Have they had some good backs in history?
I mean,
a couple.
I am glad that it is not only giving Ronald Jones the ball and Ronald Jones getting the snaps and making it pay, but that whatever might have been preventing him from getting the ball is over with. I'm glad everybody's happy. Mm-hmm. Let Ronald Jones eat.
Yes.
Please.
See, I like USC in the fact when they give Ronald Jones football. And he can have a good game. I just think eventually Washington pulls away and wins by like 10. Like, I don't like this.
Robbie, you may not like it, but I love it. And I'm not talking about this Washington pick, though I do think Washington will cover that spread. I'm talking about Indochino. I'm talking about how much better you look when you're at a party or an event, when you're in a custom-made suit instead of one of these generic off-the-rack suits. I'm talking about how everyone is going to look better, and the SEC on CBS podcast can help you do it with an incredible deal from Indochino. So this week, my listeners get any premium Indochino suit for just $389 at Indochino.com when entering SEC at checkout. $389 is 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit. Plus, the shipping is free. That's Indochino.com, promo code SEC for any premium suit for just $389 and free shipping. I mean, all you have to do is submit your body measurements, choose your customizations from lapels to pleats to jacket linings and more, kick back, relax, and the most stylish suit you've ever worn will be there in just 4 weeks. Indochino.com, promo code SEC. Any premium suit for $389 with free shipping. You'll never have to worry about badly fitting suits or expensive trips to the tailor ever again. So get ready to look like $1 million.
Let's keep it in the Pac-12. Pac-12 after dark. Cal at Washington State. 14.5 for the home favorites. Still undefeated in conference play. I like Cal to make it. I don't know. Like there's a belief in me, and Tom, we might have talked about this casually, but just the idea that Mike Leach would just turn away from what he knows will make Washington State's offense the most efficient, which is some balance, and that he just might see all those passes and start feeling it, you know?
Yeah.
He's going to get real caught up in the moment with Sonny Dykes and all that Texas football out there in California. Like he's just going to, he's not going to be able to help himself. He's going to throw the ball 60 times.
Tech connections in this game.
Yeah. Like I think that Washington State wins this game if they go unleachian, but no, I think Washington State wins this game either way, but I think Cal covers because of that. Yeah. How are you seeing this game play out?
I'm pretty much the same way. I see this becoming just a let's chuck it 70 times each and see who has the ball last kind of game. And if you're going to give me over 2 touchdowns in this kind of contest, give them to me.
I don't trust either team to hold a lead in the fourth quarter.
No.
Robbie?
I hate this game.
You're going to be so mad at this game when it's entering hour 5 and you just want to go to bed.
And it hits the over with like a minute left.
I hope they put Rod Gilmore on this game too so we can be angry together. That's the cruelest thing that they do is put Rod Gilmore on Pac-12 games where all he wants to do is watch somebody run the dang football. And he's just got to watch teams throw it 50 times. And like go
he's
for
like
it on fourth
apoplectic
down.
In the booth. Why?
Remember, he was on the call for that Cal-Texas Tech game, wasn't he?
Yeah. And he was arguing. He was arguing that those teams should have been punting in situation. He's like, I would have punted here. I'm like, are you watching this game? You're going to punt?
It's so good. I love it. It's the best part. I hope he's too. I don't even know if this is on ESPN or not, but get Roddy on the game because I just need somebody to be angry about this too. Because nobody's going to be running the football. Nobody's going to block or tackle anybody. I think Washington State's defense has been just better enough that they'll get enough stops and just pull away from Cal. I do hate the possibility of this backdoor cover because it's 14.5 because Washington State's never going to stop throwing the football. They could be up they could be up 4 touchdowns going into the fourth quarter. I'm going to hate every minute of it because there are 2 touchdowns Cal can get.
Real quick.
I think Washington – Look, Washington State's just been really good lately. I think they continue that. That's why I'm taking them, but I hate it. I hate everything about this football game. It offends me personally, and I can't wait to be up till 3 in the morning watching.
Let's take it down to the ACC. Really, really interesting spot for Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech, if it takes care of business, is going to win the ACC Coastal Division, which even if they lose to Clemson by 2 touchdowns in the ACC Championship game or put up a fight, the fact that Virginia Tech is back in the ACC Championship game is going to be mentally a huge success for Virginia Tech fans, for the Virginia Tech program, and for Justin Fuente taking over for Frank Beamer. This is, again, if Virginia Tech can take care of business. Now, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, this game, this series.
Historically
close.
Battle of the Techs.
Bees love playing the Hokies. I mean, is that, Robbie, is this what's fueling the Georgia Tech pick from you?
Yeah.
Plus 13.5?
Bees like this game. Look, Georgia Tech's been... I mean, whatever, recently.
Georgia Tech's defense in this game. Georgia Tech's defense in this game has the potential to, like we saw against North Carolina, allow just like 21-0 runs to happen real quick.
Look, I've said all year, Georgia Tech, not a good football team. Not going to pat the table this time. But, I the offense been humming. You know, they stalled out a little bit against North Carolina, which was surprising to me. But this offense kind of found a little giddy up. Justin Thomas been working that option. When he's right and they're running it right, I love watching them play football.
Fun.
On offense, the defense is horrendous.
Ted Roof.
But, look, I mean, this is, I don't know, 13.5 is a lot. Virginia Tech could smoke them, but I think that Virginia Tech is going to be willing to play this, I don't know, maybe at Georgia Tech's pace. I'm hoping, I don't know. This is just a serious pick. I tried to rationalize it for this year.
It's absolutely, there's nothing wrong with this, that.
Yeah, historically, this is like a one possession game. I think B's show up a little spunky, going for a lot of fourth and threes.
Love a good fourth and two conversion.
Just right down the gullet with the A back.
Oh, love it. No Mills in this game, suspended for 2 games. All right, Clemson in Death Valley hosting a Pittsburgh team that the season has not played out the way that Panthers wanted, but I can tell you that this is a game that I'm expecting Pittsburgh to show up fired up for. Now, that could mean they're fired up and Nathan Peterman overthrows someone and they have 2 pick-sixes by the end of the first quarter, or it could mean that they're a little spunky and that leaky pass defense decides that they're going to show up and look a little bit more Narduzzi-ish and less like, I don't know, something porous. 20.5 is a lot. They've never played as ACC foes. Strange matchup. I think that James Conner and Clemson's given the, you know, their rush defense isn't as great. They are not as great defending the run against a team that's on schedule as they are teeing off against a quarterback who's facing 3rd and 9. And I think that that's what this game's decided. James Conner can keep the ball out of Deshaun Watson's hands, but I still couldn't pick it. We picked it at 20.5. I'm going with Clemson here. Anybody else struggle with this as much as I did?
Nope.
What do you like about Clemson so much?
It made Brad Kyle look like the number one pick again.
Yeah, Pat Narduzzi has his defense. Pat Narduzzi is going to run his defense. And whether you can fit in it or not, Pat Narduzzi is going to run his defense. The players that Pitt has on defense are not fits for what Narduzzi wants to do, which is pretty much just cover 3 all the damn time. And the safeties especially are not good fits at all. This is a team that has given up tons of yards, tons of points going against Clemson.
Eat them up the seams.
Yeah, it's the type of defense where a basic, simple defense like this in which you're not trying to fool the quarterback, and now Deshaun Watson's coming up to the line? Okay. I mean, and then
Renfro back. Nobody can cover Mike Williams in the country, and you put your corners on one-on-one islands on deep routes on the outside.
They can't cover those Clemson receivers. No. So Deshaun's going to have a big game. I think the Clemson offense is going to have a very good time. And I just see Clemson's defense struggling a bit against James Conner in that Pitt offense, but getting stops still. It's not like I think this is going to be a huge shootout. I think Pitt's going to be able to put up 20 points, but I also think Clemson's going to go about for 45-49.
Yeah. I picked Clemson. Clemson is my pick. And if it was at 21.5, I might go Pitt on principle, Robbie. But at 20.5, key numbers, hooks matter. I'm looking at a Deion Kane, an Artavis Scott, a Jordan Leggett, a Mike Williams, and a, like 8 touchdowns when you combine it all.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of points. Last week I had to take a long shower because I gave out an over. But we covered. We hit third quarter because Pitt can't play defense.
Because he, as you just said, made Brad Kyle.
Like, I mean, he was like 13 for 13 to start the game with like 240 yards. Like, it was anybody that's watched Miami play football this year knows that that is not how it goes. And boy, they were just picking them apart. You put Deshaun Watson in front of that defense, like Tom said. Those corners, those poor souls, cannot cover Clemson's receivers, and Narduzzi is going to make them do it. And Leggett's going to eat up safeties on the seam. And Renfro out there finally back. There's just too many weapons. And like you said, it's if you're facing Clemson when Watson's throwing for like 400, James Conner's not making up points fast enough.
Yeah.
Nope.
That's the issue.
That's the thing, too. Pitt's going to have to abandon its run game at some point because they're not going to be able to try to...
Oh, my gosh. I can't think about Nathan Peterman. That poor man.
Trying to drop back 35 times.
He's so long that there's just so much of him to eat. Like, there's just so many cubic inches of Nathan Peterman. He's a long and lanky dude. And it's just going to be Dexter Lawrence feasting on a calf. Carlos Watkins gnawing on a shoulder. No one gets enough meat on that skinny frame.
But hey, Pitt's played 9 games and the over's hitting 8 of them for a reason. So
yep.
All right. Let's take a look at a couple top-ranked teams with some massive spreads, starting with the Louisville Cardinals hosting the bowl-eligible Wake Forest Demon Deacons. Sad news, respect the claw fence, which will be run by John Walford exclusively the rest of the year. Kendall Hinton down for an injury. Can't hint. I feel for you. Mad prayers. Speedy recovery. Wake Forest, defensively in spots in ACC play, has been spunky. Ah, Robbie.
Yeah.
We like the Deeks.
Yeah. Principal play. It's getting 35 now. Love the full 35.
More so than where we picked
it. More so than the 34 and a half.
Yeah, where you're lined up just with Ben Karchival.
Yeah, love the full 35 because I'm staring push territory in the face. Wake Forest has not given up 35 points in a game this season. Not once. I know they have not played anybody like Louisville.
It's a good stat 30, and a good reason.
33 points. 33 points the most they've given up. I don't know how to handle these top teams right now because everybody's looking for those sweet, precious style points that the committee craves so deeply. So I really don't know how to handle these top games, but I do know that 35 points feels like an awful lot against a Wake defense that has shown up against some good teams. I mean, I know Florida State isn't what we thought they were, but they only gave up 17 points to Florida State. Spunky Wake defense. This game kind of terrifies me, but on principle...
Hey, I don't hate it. I don't hate the principle play.
On principle, I had to give it out all the way.
Tom, what number are you starting to think? Like, for example, Louisville, Kentucky at the end of the month. What number are you going to have to see to take Big Blue Nation? Because I am at that point with Louisville, knowing that Bobby Petrino, his son, Nick Petrino, that entire offensive staff are just staring down the invitation to put up Madden stats with Lamar Jackson the rest of the season. It benefits everyone.
I don't care what the number is. Because Bobby Petrino knows what the number is.
I don't think he even cares what the number is. I think his number to beat is like +1, as in he always wants more.
That's my point, though. I feel like Bobby Petrino knows what the spread is, and Bobby Petrino's got it in his head. I'm going to just beat this team. I'm going to crush them. And you mentioned that Wake's defense has been good this year. There's no getting around it. It's just it gave up 3 points to Tulane. It gave up 9 points to Syracuse, which is not a great offense. It held Florida State to 17 for sure, but Florida State's more of a pro style attack. And it gave up 21 to Army, which is an option. It's like when you look at it against Indiana, it gave up 28 points. Against North Carolina State, it gave up 33 points.
Fine.
These offenses, hell, it gave up 20 to Virginia. So I mean, it has not played an offense anywhere near the caliber of Louisville. And I want to be, but they're bowl eligible now, so I feel like I could just say, okay, they can get their ass kicked for a week. And I really, really think, as we saw last week, and Bobby Petrino's not trying to hide the fact of what he intends to do and what he thinks his team needs to do to get to the top four.
Beat that ass.
They are just going to try to crush Wake Forest. Now, Wake Forest might step up to that challenge, and it might hold them in check.
Stand tall, Deeks.
But until Louisville falters in its plans, I'm sorry. I mean, it's going to be 35-0 by halftime, if recent history indicates anything of what Louisville is going to do in this game.
I can't wait to sweat this out. I can tell you that much. I'm going to be sweating every garbage time moment of this game. I'm thrilled about it. Locked in. Deeks.
Hell hath no fury like an expert picker scorned, and Robbie Callen did not learn his lesson with the Iowa Hawkeyes. Robbie.
Nope. Fool.
You're taking taking the Hawkeyes that just got punished by Penn State.
That's correct.
To cover 21.5 against the Michigan team. That is a Michigan team that's still like going for it on fourth down and arguing calls in 30-point games.
That's correct.
Gotcha. Any logic behind this one?
Last week was a look ahead. Iowa's been getting ready. Iowa's been prepping Ference. Ference about to earn that 20 mil.
Iowa, which can't afford another loss, was looking ahead to the
Iowa facing a winnable opportunity was looking ahead to the less winnable opportunity.
No chance of winning.
Michigan, first time being on the road against a team over 500.
All right.
Iowa is I don't know, man. I don't know. This is principal play. Home dog getting more than 3 touchdowns. That's too tempting for your boy. That's candy. That's candy in the white van, man. Like, I can't.
You can't turn
this out. They know, but I got to chase after it.
Robbie's.
Right, listen.
What?
Michigan's not just 9-0 this year, okay? It's 9-0 and winning by an average of 37.3 points per game. And that includes the games against Penn State and Wisconsin and Michigan. It's winning by an average of 37 points per game. It's killing everything that even just deigns to step in front of it. As Chip mentioned, they're winning by 4 scores last week, and Harbaugh's getting pissed off at the officials about meaningless calls. They are just a no. And then you look at this Iowa team. I'm not done, sir. They won their first 2 games of the year at home in Iowa City against Miami of Ohio and Iowa State. The next week in Iowa City, they lost to North Dakota State, which is a good FCS team, but does not change the fact that it is an FCS team. Their next home game against Northwestern, a loss, 38-31. Their next home game against Wisconsin, a loss, 17-9. Iowa's lost 3 straight at home.
Iowa, but they're all 1 possession losses.
Oh, okay then. They're not covering at home. They're not covering.
Robbie needs to take swing. Robbie's 7 games behind Chip Patterson right now. I need swings. I gotta get winners against y'all.
1-4.
I'm taking some swings on a principal play with the candy.
It is 1-4 against the spread at home. It is 1-2 as an underdog.
Fine.
It's 3-6 overall.
Mafia.
Michigan.
You know who else is 3-6?
The Mafia.
Notre Dame. Because that's the real 3-6 Mafia.
Same thing.
That's a
you
good
go
joke.
Go ahead and you take Iowa all you want, because even if they cover, you were wrong.
I was not wrong, because winners are never wrong. Losers can be on the right side. I'll say that all the time, but winners were never on the wrong side.
No. Like, even if Iowa covers, you were wrong.
South Carolina under was the right side all the way, even though it shouldn't have covered.
Mason Rudolph has been cooking. And a true principal play is for me to come around and just admit my wrongs, admit my faults, and throw all of my support blindly behind Oklahoma State to cover 12.5. That's what I owe to college football this week.
I respect it.
It's not the right pick. Texas Tech to cover 12.5. Like, absolutely.
I'm not comfortable in this pick at all. I'm on the Texas Tech side, but we've seen that Tech offense, it tends to go away for quarters at a time.
Out.
Yeah, I mean, I see a situation where, you know, Oklahoma State could end up covering this. I'm not super confident in it, especially on the road outside of Lubbock. I'm never super confident in the Red Raiders, but I took them just because principal play, 12.5 points with what should probably be a shootout.
Robbie?
I've just been taking I've just been taking the points in every Big 12 game, and it's working out all right. Because I don't know anything that's happening there. I don't trust any of those teams. Literally, there's not a team in the Big 12 that I trust to cover a game. So I'm just like, I'll take points. Give me points. And it's working out okay. The funny thing is, I just did that kind of blindly, forgetting my principle this year of never taking Texas Tech in a game a year because I hate it so much. There's nothing more nerve-wracking than having to believe in this defense to do anything. Like, literally, like, there's nothing worse than knowing that they need a stop to cover and knowing you're not getting it. You just know that this team is just going to give up points. Mm. So I hate this, but again, I'm just taking points in the Big 12 for like the rest of the year.
He is Robbie Calland. You can follow him on Twitter at @rcalland. He is Tom Fornelli. You can follow him at Tom Fornelli. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Best of luck if we agree. Worst of luck if we don't. Things are getting real tight here in these final weeks in the Expert Picks scoreboard.
I'm coming for you, Patterson.
Dun, 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 dun.
I was leading to the promised land. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, the promised land of five games under 500.